It is time once again to turn into Rightly Dividing Word of Truth, and we're thankful for you are listening each week at this time. And we're in lesson 5, and if you have your Bibles or you're listening, turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And last week we went over Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and we're still in the kind of introduction stage, if you will, and you're thinking, this is lesson 5, and you're just now getting in verse 1. Well, there's a lot to say about Matthew. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. We know that Jesus Christ as the son of David, that's his royal connection to what? The throne, okay? And Jesus as the son of Abraham is his connection because of what? His seed line. Okay, the first 25 chapters of Matthew shows Jesus as the son of David. And chapters 26 through 28 will show him as the son of Abraham. Matthew focuses on fulfilling the promises made to David and to who? Abraham. In Matthew chapter 1, first 17 verses... Jesus really shares the fact that it's Jesus' legal right to the throne, the land, and to the nation Israel are established. That's the first 17 verses. Verses 18 through 25 is his divine rights as the Son of God are established. So there's a lot in those passages. Verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Matthew doesn't focus, if you notice on that, Matthew doesn't focus on the 12 tribes, does he? It says, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Okay, he focused on Judah, which is what that means. And Judah is a tribe of what? What do they say about Judah? You remember? Not the priesthood. Go to Galatians chapter, excuse me, Genesis chapter 49. You know, Levi is like the priesthood, if you will. Genesis chapter 49. Hold your finger there in Matthew. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, starting with verse 8. It says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? His scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In verses 8 through 11, that the promise is confirmed in who? I mean, that's the tribe it's going through, but who's the promise confirmed in? Jesus Christ. So if you go back, Judah is identified as a kingly tribe from which the Messiah will come from. And Shiloh means peace bearer. So did Jesus come to bring peace? Okay. In Revelation, you're in Matthew, get Revelation chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 verse 5 says, as one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, who's the line of Judah? Okay, all right. But let me ask you this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, who's a lion here? Okay, go back to Matthew. You better understand, when you look at the Word of God, who is things like that, the lion? Well, Jesus Christ is a lion, isn't he? Who else is a lion? Satan. Jesus, the word Jesus, I'm giving you some more information. Jesus in the Greek, the Hebrew name in the Old Testament would be what? Or Joshua. Okay, when you read Joshua, Joshua is a person of Jesus Christ on this earth, and he's coming, which means Jehovah Savior. But I'm just going to share some things with you right now to give you some kind of information about Jesus in the Greek. Excuse me, Christ in the Greek is the Hebrew name for, what was they looking for? Their Messiah. Okay, in the Old Testament. That's John 1:4. But when you look at the word Christ, what do you think the word Christ means? Savior. You say Savior?
Sent one.
What is it? Sent one? No.
The anointed.
The anointed. Okay? That's what Christ means, the anointed. Okay? And it is a title. Jesus Christ. Jesus the anointed. Do you know Satan was the Christ?
He's an anointed cherub something.
Ezekiel 28, verse 14 tells you that. He was anointed cherubim. If anointed means Christ, okay, and that's who God had around him, cherubims. Okay, anointed cherubims. It's very, very, you see where I'm saying, what I'm saying about this? If Jesus is the Christ, Satan is a Christ. What we find out later is the Antichrist. Lord Jesus Christ is a lion. Satan is a lion. You with me? You see this counterfeit here? It's very, very important to know that Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus Christ, the Christ. It's not just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's groups out there today that freely throw Jesus' name around like you and I throw our regular names around. That's wrong. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's, let me hide this way. Jesus Christ is Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the Lord Christ. That's important to know. Go back to Matthew. So when he begat Judas and his brethren, okay, that's why he goes to that line, that genealogy. That's what we're looking at. Verse 3. And Judas begat Zephyrus and Zerah of
Tamar,
and Phares of Esrom, and Esrom and begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Jeroboam, and Jeroboam begat Urias, and Urias begat, all the way down through here, all the way down to chapter, or verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Okay? Before we break it all the way down, I'm going to share something with you that is on your test, if you have your test with you. There's five women in that genealogy. And that's really unheard of throughout the Word of God, to have women involved in the genealogy of someone in the Israelite. Okay? And they lift up and elevate the position of women. I'm going to talk about women today, just a little bit. So that should encourage you, ones that are listening. That first one you look at is Tamar. Okay? Tamar. You say, you know, you might be saying, why does she have to get involved in this? Where is she at in Christ's genealogy? That's back in Genesis 38. We're not going to turn there. She's back in Genesis 38 because of her sin. Okay? If you go back and read Genesis 38, there she stands in the genealogy telling Israel who the Messiah will be. And he will be the Savior of sinners. And that's exactly what he says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. So she's involved in the fact that she's in line there. She's explaining to who Jesus Christ is going to be. Savior of who? Sinners. That's the verse 3. Then you get down here and you see and Solomon, verse 5, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rechab. Who's Rahab? Okay. Yeah, harlot, right? Prostitute. She got in a genealogy by her what? What would you say? Faith. Exactly.
What verse is she in?
She's in verse 5. She was there in Jericho, and she had heard about the deliverance that God had brought to Israel. It was her faith that separated her from her judgment of God, and that brought salvation and blessing to her family. You know, we look all through acts of grace, right? Acts of grace all through. That was just the situation that the nation was in even at that time. It was Israel's faith in Messiah and bringing separated to Him that was going to bring salvation and blessings to everybody. That same verse, you have Ruth there, the third woman. She got into genealogy by marrying in who? Boaz. You know the law said, Israel law said, that she couldn't come in because she was a Moabite, thank you, to put her out. That's what the law says. You know, the law of Israel forbade them to marry outside of their own tribes. That's something you need to think about too. Do you know what the law did even to Israel? It condemned them. See? Because if they were told to do this, guess what they did? They didn't do it. So that law condemned them. Their hope was in the greater Boaz, the greater kinsman redeemer. That's who Boaz is a picture of, the kinsman redeemer. You have to have, if you know the laws, you have to have somebody to pay for you and able to pay for you and able not to be in debt to pay for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, Boaz, was the great kinsman redeemer in the Old Testament. Every Jew understood the romance of the redemption in the book of Ruth. They used it. It's funny how it says, if you know your Joshua judges Ruth. You know, y'all might not think that's funny, but I'm like, here you've got a guy judging the woman. You know, but anyway, that's how your Bible's laid out, by the way. And they understood that it would be fit the type, and there is Ruth identified clearly in them. Boaz places her into this list. She's a Gentile, isn't she? Then you have Bathsheba. That's who he's talking about in verse 6. You know, she don't call her Bathsheba, does it? It says the one that had been the wife, that had been the wife of Urias. Had been. Bathsheba reminds you of the sure mercies of David we hear everybody talk about. She is the genealogy because of the sin in connection with the life of King David. There is an adulterer in the king's palace. What should the law have done? Guilty. David. Sometimes you forget about David and what he's did. and the awful sins connected in his life, his failures and shortcomings, and the judgment on him and on the nation because of his sins. There she stands, and yet God was true to his promise, and he had given what Isaiah 55:3 calls the sure mercies of David. He's letting her live. Then you have Mary down there in verse 16. Mary signifies God out of the weakness of bringing forth his strength, usefulness, and profitability for God from just a little dedicated handmaiden. So you have five women there that God lifts up and shows you some things. That's all I'm going to say about that. You got your five women in that genealogy. But the Gentiles in the genealogy of Jesus, because Israel was to go out and be a blessing to who? The nations. Now when we continue with the genealogy, and now this is going to get a little tough for some. It was tough for me to follow this. But and if you continue in the genealogy of Matthew, Matthew leaves out some names in verse 8 and verse 11. They won't tell you who they are right here. But verse 8 says, "And Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Urias."
Did yours say Urias?
It says Urias. Ozias. Yeah. But that's who that is. The goal is to show that Christ is a descendant of David from Abraham. And from Abraham to David, Luke's genealogy matches exactly what Matthew's is. Luke's up to that point. And it's very, very important that we're going to see something, so bear with me. Matthew follows the royal lineages through Solomon. Everybody knows that, right? You know, everybody, you know, but you also got to know it don't say King Solomon, does it? In that verse. Luke follows the lineages through one of Solomon's older brothers. It don't mention Solomon. Luke don't. Matthew does. Luke's genealogy goes the opposite direction from Matthew. Luke's genealogy goes from Mary back to Adam. And Matthew goes from Abraham forward to Joseph, the husband of Mary. Matthew 1, verse 6. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Luke chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 31. Which was the son of Mela, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Matthiah, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Solomon, which was the son of Nathan. Now who does Luke put in there before the son of David?
Nathan.
It's Nathan, isn't it? Okay, Luke traces it from David to Nathan instead of David to Solomon. Back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 7, you didn't notice any problem in that verse, but there is a problem, verse 7 through 8. There are three names left out in the passages, and we're not going to go into deep with this, but I just want to give you some information across right off the top. In the verse after Joram, if you study 2 Kings, you'll see that Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah are before Urias. There's three kings in there that was before those other kings that Matthew put in there. And there's a reason for this, so don't say, oh my gosh, my Bible's, I don't have the Word of God, or it got contradictions in it. Why would they leave them out? It is an intentional and purposeful omission what God has done. And the answer is in verse 17. The answer is in verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are what? 14 generations. And from David to the carrying away to Babylon are what? 14 generations. And the carrying away from Babylon to Christ are what? 14. If you added those three other kings, it would interrupt, it would destroy that the word right there. When they got carried off, is because of their way. Why did they get carried off in Babylon?
Their rebellion.
That's why they got carried off. When you have those three people that are omitted in the verse 8, they are descendants of Ahab, the Rahab, Sheik of the Burning Sand. You know that Ray Stevens song? No, okay, you don't. Sorry, but Ahab. You know who Ahab? Who was Ahab's wife? Excuse me. You know who Ahab's wife was? Jezebel. Okay? Jezebel's husband. He was a king, wicked king, and who was she? The wicked queen. What does she introduce into Israel? Baal. Yeah. Baal worship. You know, I just mentioned something that, okay? All right. Baal worship and a Baalite system that was created by a bunch of idol worshipers. That's what she introduced to Israel. You know why God omits people like that? That introduce Baal worship, and you know why he...
Well, they're not entering into the kingdom.
They're not entering into the kingdom. So. But there's a reason why he kind of wipes people like that out.
Not in the book of
Exodus chapter 20.
They used to say they did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Did evil in the sight of the Lord?
Exodus what chapter?
Exodus chapter 20. This may jog memory of some. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Verse 4 says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon their children and upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." This is why he scratches them out. By the way, is that where the Ten Commandments is from? Huh? You know something that's strange to me? It says don't make no graven images of what's in heaven. Man, I've had pictures and stuff. Don't you know? I'm not say I'm not, but you know, think about that.
Had.
That passage go back to Matthew chapter 1. That passage is literally fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, when God Almighty reaches down through the pen of Matthew and just scratches out all those names in that lineage. He's not going to allow that type of worship, that type of stuff, to be honored in His kingdom and through the genealogy of Jesus Christ. With me? He blotted out. He just scratches them off the names. And by the way, those three guys that we just mentioned, they all died a horrible death. Yeah, 2 Kings. Died violent deaths, if you will. There's a spiritual reason why those three people were left out, is because their association of Baal worship and their idolatry association. Verse 11, that was three that was left out there. Verse 11, "And Joaz begot Jeconias and his brethren. By that time they were carried away to Babylon." And that verse, if you want to go to Jeremiah chapter 22 right quick, Jeremiah 22... This is something else. It's very, very important in the genealogy. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 24. As I live unto the Lord, though Kona, that's the same guy over there with a J-E in front of his name. And if you put J-E in front of somebody's name, you know who that's representing?
Jesus.
Jehovah. It's God. Was it Kona? The son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet will I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee in the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face that fearest, even in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country, where ye were not born, and ye shall die, and there shall ye die. But in a land until they desire to return, thither shall not they not return. Is this man Kona a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein he is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into the land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in work. Go back to verse 11 in Matthew. Now that name's in there, isn't it? But what do you know about a curse? What did Jesus Christ, what did God say that his seed will not what? Inherit the throne of what? David. Jesus could not have sit. You got to remember this. God scratches him out because of the curse, this right here. That's why that name is not in Luke's genealogy. You with me? Jesus Christ, if he was the son of Joseph, in that lineage of David, through what Matthew says, he could not sit on the throne if he had been born from Joseph. How many knew that? I know every one of you are like, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. You cannot. Jesus is the son of David through Mary's lineages. It's very important to see this because you know why? When I read that, and Jesus Christ says, I'm a son of Joseph, I have full rights of the throne of David, here I am, Satan could have said, not according to what God says. If you're in this lineages where God said he cursed that guy and said his sons would remain childless and would not inherit that throne, guess what? Jesus couldn't be the throne sitting on David. Jesus couldn't be the king sitting on David's throne. Go back to Luke.
Luke or Matthew?
Well, you know what we said in Luke. Jesus is a son of David through Matthew. No son of David through Solomon could sit on the throne because of the curse in Jeremiah chapter 22. He couldn't do it. So what do? You go back to Luke chapter 3, verse 31. It says, which was the son... Go back there for a minute. Luke chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 3. 31 says, which was the son of Mela, which was the son of Menelan, which was the son of Matthiah, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. It's very interesting that it's that way. But how, let me ask you this, how about the Lord Jesus Christ? What about him? Isn't he still a descendant of David? Okay. Isn't he still to be the son of David over and over in the Bible? See, and then when you read Matthew, you read that, you don't think nothing of it. Solomon, all that stuff. You read Luke, and he says, doesn't he say that he's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Doesn't he say he is going to be the son of David? Over and over and over, yes, he is. Do you know where he gets that from? You should know now, right? Go to in Luke. Luke chapter 3 doesn't run from David through Solomon, but it runs through Nathan. Where are you at, Nathan? Go back there for a minute. Or Luke. Verse 23. He is a literal son of David through Nathan, and he misses the curse of Cana by virtue of the virgin birth. That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay, it's a piece of God's handiwork, knowing and provoking and protecting who Jesus Christ really was. Only God could do this. You with me? Now, me and you would not pick that up unless you studied enough to say, wait a minute, that king that Matthew mentioned, Jochanan, he's got a curse on him. And if he's got a curse and God said he cannot sit on the throne of David, then how can Christ be on the throne of David through that lineage? He can't. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. Matthew chapter 1, 12, it goes all the way down to Jacob begat Joseph, verse 16. There are no genealogical records anywhere like that in verses 12 through 14 in Matthew. Nowhere will you find it. They're all been destroyed. You cannot go back. We talked about genealogy earlier. You cannot go back and trace this in anywhere. There's absolute, totally obscurity of genealogy of Messiah, except if you believe Matthew. If you don't believe Matthew, you have to go. You have nowhere to go. Correct? What I'm trying to get right there, verse 16 in Matthew 16. I told you, hold your hand in Luke. Matthew 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. When Jacob begat, it says Jacob begat Joseph, but who was born Jesus? Are they the two things, same thing, begat and born? I looked up the word begat. It's got... as the father or sire to generate, as to beget a son, to produce, as an effect, to cause, to exist, to generate. Born is to bring forth, okay? As an animal, a very useful distinction is observed by good authors who, in a sense, produce and brought forth, write this word born. To be born is to produce or be brought into life. Man is born into trouble. Man born a prince or a beggar. It is followed by of before the mother or ancestors. The man that is born of a woman is a few days old, full of trouble, Job says. Okay? I just wanted to share this with you a little bit. Abraham to David, verse 17. Go back to Matthew 17. I'm running through this very quickly on this part. But verse 17, Abraham to David. Oh, by the way, let me see if I got this. Before we go to verse 17, go back to Luke for a second. And we may cover this again next week. But you see Luke chapter 3. Verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph. See how God does that? Son of which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthah, which was the son of Levi. You can stop right there for a minute. What did Matthew say? Who was Jacob begat who?
Joseph.
Who's Joseph the son of who? Right here. Heli. You know who Heli was? That's Mary's daddy. Okay? And you might think, well, how in the world is that? Let me share something with you. I got three daughters. Two of them's married. And I either can have, they're my son-in-laws, or they're my son. All through the Bible, you find that. You know, it says Saul, David was the son of Saul. And you're like, how in the world that? He married one of his daughters. See? And that's where this comes in at. So don't let that throw you like, wait a minute, there's a contradiction in my Bible. No, it's not. Once again, how does the genealogy follow through Jewish tradition? Through the men, right? So that's how it says that Joseph is a son of Heli. Heli is Mary's daddy. With me? Now, many of you have, we call them daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws and stuff like that. Or you can say, she's my daughter, she's my son, he's my son. Well, when you call somebody your son, in that sense, that's more, and then more personal, like, he really accepted me. But getting back to verse 17, and let's share that with you in that right quick. Getting back to Matthew 17. Abraham to David is the founding of the nation. The Abrahamic covenant gives Christ the right to land a nation. I'm just breaking this down with you. David to the Babylon captivity established a throne and kingly line. Davidic covenant goes Christ to the right of the throne. And Babylon captivity to Christ, captivity, the new covenant. How both the Abrahamic covenant and Messiah will be executed. Those generations. Okay? I'm going to stop right there until next week.